Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to 3 Yards Per Carry, a podcast covering the Miami Dolphins and the NFL. Now, here's your hosts, Chris, Alf, and Simon.
And we're on. I'm Alfredo Arteaga. Simon Clancy is here. Chris Kaufman is here. This is part two of our training camp preview. Today was actually the first day of training camp, although there was no training going on, just conditioning tests. And we'll have a little bit more on that in a little bit. We'll have some of the things that went on today, some news that came out today. A new edge player, a new defensive end, 5-tech on the team, a familiar face. But first, this show is brought to you by Prize Picks. This is going to be, and I checked it, by the way, it's going to be year 6 with us. We're going to have our own. I'm not going to share with you the, because I'm not supposed to, because it's supposed to clear in 6 days. I will not share with you our promo code, but you can guess what it will be. I will tell you about it in 6 days, but for now, our promo code is still 5. That's F-I-V-E. You deposit $100, you get $100. It's as simple as that. Next week, I will share with you our exclusive promo code. You can guess what it is. The same one it's been for the last 3 years, every football season. And of course, betteredge.com. You go to betteredge.com/5. Reasons, and you get $25 just for signing up. And of course, we have a store now, OnlyFans. You go to onlyfans.printify.me/products. You're going to see the link there in every single one of our promotions on our 3 Yards Per Carry Twitter account. Every time I promote one of these podcasts, and you go and you could buy all kinds of things, from coffee to bottle openers to hoodies to hats. The dad hats, for whatever reason, were very, very popular in one day. Like 6 people bought dad hats for one day.
And can we get condoms like Chris's hats on, so that people can fuck Chris?
I can make a joke. I can make a joke and say, yeah, of course we could have condoms, but it would be a joke. It wouldn't be a joke. It would actually be telling you the truth. Because the truth of the matter is that, yes, the answer is yes. Those things can't be arranged.
OnlyFans condoms with Chris's face on.
We can sell condoms with our logo on it. Yes, that is entirely possible.
I just want to thank Simon for this right now.
No worries, bud. I got your back, man.
Now, the margins as far as profits.
Not too close, though, given what we're talking about.
You know, the margins are not going to be all that great. You know, we're not going to make a lot of money off of them.
How do you know?
It's going to be about as popular as the decaf.
Yes. And of course, if you want to talk to us, hey, man, it's training camp time. The season is almost here. They're going to be playing games in 2.5 weeks. Is that right? I think so. Yes. 2.5. Let me check. 2.5 weeks. There's an actual football game going to take place at Hard Rock Stadium. So maybe you want to become a member of our Discord. And that's at discord.gg/OnlyFans. All right. That's enough of all of that. Let's get into some news for today. Today they were doing their conditioning tests. What are these conditioning tests? Okay. Let me see if I could explain. They're going to run, at least they ran today, 110-yard sprints. They're running from the goalpost to the goal line. They're going to do it three times. They're going to do it once to get a heat for each position group. And then they know what range as far as time that these guys have to run these 110-yard sprints. For example, offensive linemen, 21 minutes. Jesus Christ. 21 seconds. Well, there's certain guys that would need 21 minutes, but it's 21 seconds for an offensive lineman to do the 110 yards. And you got to do it three times. You do that, you pass. Evidently, there's no information that these guys didn't pass, but Odell Beckham and David Long Jr. have showed up on the PUP, which suggests that maybe they did not pass. And Taj Washington is on the reserve injured list, which there's a new rule to that this year. You're out for no matter what 4 weeks, but you can activate in season two guys that you placed on this injured list during training camp in season, meaning Taj Washington technically can be activated for week one. Here's the issue. He's a rookie. There is no way he's going to miss all of training camp and be active for this season. So I would suggest that this is a way of redshirting Taj Washington for the year. Simon, any thoughts on any of this, that the news that came out today?
None whatsoever.
Chris, any thoughts on this?
No, I'm joking. It's obviously not a shock that Odell Beckham didn't pass his conditioning test. You know, and I think as soon as we heard last week that Taj Washington was going on the PUP, we talked about it. You know, there's fierce competition at the wide receiver position, and he would face an uphill battle just to be the odd man out, let alone anything else, when you take in Berrios and Ezukama and Craycraft and Beckham Jr. and Malik Washington and Braylon Saunders and all those guys. You know, so I don't think that's a surprise. I know that they like him. I know that, but you know, I was talking to somebody about 4 or 5 days ago in the Dolphins, and they really like the Washingtons. They're good kids. They've worked hard. They've made a good impression on the veterans. And I wouldn't be surprised if Malik makes an impact this season. But, you know, I think it's hard to see a pathway now for Taj Washington to have any impact as a rookie.
Chris?
Well, one thing, so there's a couple of things going on here. One, you know, probably, I guess, maybe not the only prominent personality to have stepped down all of a sudden, but Shaq Barrett, you know, did retire, and I don't think we did a podcast after that had happened. So no. So that probably deserves addressing real quick, because that was one of the moves, putting him on the on the reserve retired list. And then we'll get to it in a second, to his replacement. But that was something that we talked about when he first came on board, is his history with his family and some of the tragedy that has happened in his family. And ultimately Shaq Barrett decided that, that he wanted to spend his time focusing on his family, and he just, his heart wasn't in it anymore. So, so part of what's going on is, you know, kind of, scrambling to deal with that. Another thing that happened is several of the players that went on PUP, even before this conspicuous timing that Alf is mentioning, with, you know, with respect to the potential for having failed conditioning tests and whatnot. I am told that, you know, guys that finished the year on injured reserve last year, there's some verbiage in the CBA, and with respect to contracts and such, that kind of has teams leaning toward those guys starting on the PUP, and there are some guys that are on there that we haven't necessarily had updates from on how they're doing health wise, guys like Cameron Good, Speaking of that edge position, or guys like Isaiah Wynn, the left guard, starting left, presumed starting left guard for the Dolphins, who is going to start off camp on PUP. So it's not just these guys that are turning up on the PUP list today, conspicuously right around the time of conditioning tests. There's been some other guys too, and that are worth mentioning. And so, but I think that I'm told not to be terribly concerned about those other guys, or really any of them. And that, and you know, kind of, it is what it is, as far as what we're seeing and who's on these lists today. But the real needle movers, or the needle mover, was the Shaq Barrett retirement.
Yeah, and we're gonna get to into his replacement in a second. The other news that was made today was there was five player availabilities. Nobody really said anything. It was Jordan Poyer, Raheem Mostert, Zach Sealer, and our two wide receivers, Jalen Waddle and Tyreek Hill. Tyreek Hill basically mocked the conditioning tests as he ran in all sweaty, and he said, "Man, that was easy." Now, here's the problem. They're running heats. Can you imagine if, like, who do you think is struggling the most, Simon, when Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle are setting the pace, and now you have to make a certain time? Obviously, they ran Odell Beckham back into the pup, but I guess Azukama is Azukama the slowest of the group?
I'd have to look at their 40 times.
I don't think he's even all that slow, is he?
No, I don't think he's that slow. But I would, you know, it's always hard for a guy who hasn't played for a while to come back in and do anything. I mean, if you're playing pickup basketball with your friends and you haven't played for a couple of months or 6 months or 8 months, it's hard to get back into the shape and the, you know, it takes a few weeks to really get going. It doesn't matter how, you know, how fit you were beforehand. So it's going to take these guys a while. And I'd imagine in that Miami heat in the, you know, the dog days of July, that was no fun for anybody.
Yeah. And the only other news that was made was Jordan Poyer is getting brutally forthcoming with every availability. Teddy essentially said, yeah, these guys will go to pieces if we just went up 7 points on them in any game, which was kind of revealing, but he keeps repeating it over and over again. At a certain point, it gets a little bit annoying. Yeah, we get it, Jordan. The Bills own us. Yes, it's understood. All right, let's get into the major news.
They decided to report. By the way, I found it. He ran a 4.55 at his pro day.
Okay, so if Tyreek's running 4.3s and he's setting, I don't know what the hell kind of pace you set at 110 yards. Like, what could that possibly be for a wide receiver?
Who knows?
And then they give you a range. So yeah, we do know that Odell Beckham did not cut it. All right, so Shaq Barrett gets replaced by Emmanuel Ogba. They brought in pretty much every favorite from like 4 years ago, as far as a pass rusher is concerned. This is a little bit different. You had one guy who had one kind of style in Shaq Barrett, more of a wide nine type, standing up. You bring in the consummate five tech, guy who could kick into three tech, a little bit more versatility, but a guy that had, in my estimation, I understand because I've caught a little flack online. People say, he was incredibly productive. Yeah, as a pass rusher, he had some decent numbers last year in, what was it, 250 snaps. He had six sacks, 20 pressures. Those are good numbers. But as an edge setter, as a run defender, he was one of the weaker guys on the team. He really doesn't play well standing up. He plays better with his hand in the dirt. What do you make of it? And I'll get you in here, Chris, after Simon. Simon, what do you make of Emmanuel Ogba? Familiar face? Is it just familiarity? Yeah, let's just bring in who we know. Although $5 million, man, for a season. But this suggests that maybe Chop Robinson and Mo Kamara might have an earlier role. Or maybe Calais Campbell is kicking up outside.
I think it's going to be a mix, a melting pot. I mean, Ogba's still a decent player. You know, 5.5 sacks last year on only 25% of snaps. You know, this is a guy that, you know, played well for the Dolphins before he got hurt. I don't think he suited particularly the Vic Fangio scheme, as you just touched upon. I think he's a much, much better fit for thought Anthony Weaver's probably going to do if you look at what he did in Baltimore and what the defense was in Baltimore. I think Ogbo's a much better fit for that. I know they brought in Yannick Ngakoue as well, and you know I know he had a down year last year, but Ngakoue's the I think I read somewhere earlier on that he's only the fifth player since 1982 to have at least 8 sacks in his first 7 seasons. You know, I think he had 4 or 5 last year, but you know, I think they're looking for a more well-rounded kind of player. Ogba's not going to get you 10, 12, 14 sacks. He's never been that kind of guy. But he's a guy that can play well against the run. He's a guy that can reduce down inside. Like you say, much better with his hand in the dirt. He gets his hands up really well in passing lanes. I think he led the league in that a couple of years ago. Tough guy, well-liked around the facility. And I think it will remains to be seen what happens with Ngakoue in terms of, you know, what happens with Cam Good or what happens with Bradley Chubb. We saw Jalen Phillips running and running fast. I certainly saw him on Instagram yesterday running fast with his top off, you know, and looking good. So, but it depends on what happens with those guys as to whether or not Ngakoue maybe comes into the mix as well. But I think Ogba's a solid signing. It's the sort of signing that I thought they'd probably make because I think he's a fit. I think he's a culture fit. I think he's well liked, and I think he'll do a job in the rotation.
By the way, Yannick Ngakoue, 6 teams in 5 years: Jacksonville, Minnesota, Baltimore, the Raiders, Indianapolis, and with Chicago last year. Looking for a new team this year, Chris.
I think this is a weird one, just from the standpoint of, you know, it's hard to tell whether they just had their hands tied behind their back a little bit, and as far as what they could actually do in this market and who is available. And so there's, to some extent, you just basically have to go with whoever's available, and knowing that that the sudden retirement of Shaq Barrett is not ideal, and maybe that's the maybe you know this is the best we could do. But what I'll say about this is that Shaq Barrett is a guy who is a true outside linebacker, a true 3-4, 34 type, you know, odd front outside linebacker who is no stranger at all to coverage. He's probably covered upwards of 600-700 times, 600-700 snaps in his career, and that is not Emmanuel Ogba. Okay, that is definitely not Emmanuel Ogba, nor is it Yannick Ngakoue either. So I think that it's interesting to replace one with the other, and actually maybe kind of telling about what they may be thinking that they can get out of the two guys on roster who we know can play outside linebacker, who we know can play out in space a little bit and have familiarity with, you know, playing with their hands up, and that's Bradley Chubb and Jalen Phillips. And I know the Dolphins are not into timelines and all that, but I've continuously heard for a very long time that Jalen Phillips is doing remarkably well in his rehab. So the tone is decidedly optimistic and has been forever on Jalen Phillips. And while the tone on Bradley Chubb was more or less silent for a long time, you know, it started to get optimistic too. So those guys can play with their hand up out of the dirt, and they can do things as outside linebackers, and I think surprisingly Chop Robinson can as well. But now you add in an Emmanuel Ogba, who's more of a hand down guy, which, to be fair, Anthony Weaver did that with Jadeveon Clowney last year. Like, that was not a hand up guy for the Baltimore Ravens. So I think that they're probably shifting around some things, and some expectations of how this is all going to play out in light of the Shaq Barrett retirement, but also possibly factoring in some optimism about Chubb and Phillips and perhaps Chop Robinson, who knows what they've seen from him in OTAs and workouts and stuff like that, and how they believe he's I guess learning the defense and coming along mentally and with his mental reps. So we'll see how that pans out, but I do think that it carries implications, going with Emmanuel Ogba the way that they have, and so that's of interest to me.
Yeah, and by the way, Deshaun Hand was wearing 93 until Calais Campbell got here, gave it up to Calais for 91, and now Emmanuel Ogba is here. Is he going to give it up? Well, on the roster, it says Emmanuel Ogba not disclosed his number. So if Deshaun Hand, is selling his number, if he sold 93 to Calais Campbell and now he's going to sell 91 to Emmanuel Ogba, I think I might have found my new favorite player on the team. All right, let's get into the interior defense alignment on this team. I'll rattle them off. It's Zach Sealer, Neville Gallimore. Neville Gallimore essentially playing for a briefcase full of $100 bills. They actually did pay him that way. They just paid him, what was it, $1.2 million straight up cash for the season. Isaiah Mack, Leonard Payne, Brandon Peely, Benito Jones, Tyr Tart. Man, I can't wait for that first roster tomorrow, and I'm gonna look at that pup list to see if Tyr Tart is on there or not. Calais Campbell, Deshaun Hand, Jonathan Harris, Mario Kendricks. I'll leave the edge players for the next segment. Some versatility here. Who's on the outside looking in, do you think, Simon? And I like this group. They're gonna have to stay healthy. You know, it's you went from two star defensive tackles to one. You're now with the rest of the league, essentially. So you're really one injury away from scrambling. It's a decent group, some versatility. They're going to play a lot of even fronts, so they'll hide each other, I would say. Your thoughts, Simon?
Yeah, no stars apart from Sealer, really. It's a rotational group. Campbell will reduce down inside. I think that Jonathan Harris, Kendricks, Isaiah Mack, Leonard Payne, Brandon Peely are probably on the outside looking in. They're going to have to shift some to really make it work. You know, Gallimore was a high pick, was a third round pick out of Oklahoma, and you know, had a solid college career and kind of flattered to deceive a little bit with the Cowboys, injured reserve. You know, but he ran a 4.79 at 304 pounds. Which, yes, you know, just shows the explosion that he's got, you know, explosive player, but hasn't.
Yeah, really... and if you watch him, and sorry to interrupt you, if you watch him on tape, he's all effort. Now, he may not get there and make the play, but he's all effort. There's no doubt.
Working
about
with
that.
The Calais Campbell as well is really going to be, you know, instrumental for these guys, these younger guys, you know, like a Gallimore, like a Hand, like a Peely, you know, in terms of just the ability to soak up that talent base that, you know, Benito Jones similarly, you know, having, you know, years in the league in terms of just being able to be like an extra coach. I mean, Calais Campbell, what a great teacher to have, you know, for a young guy like a Neville Gallimore, for a young guy like a Deshaun Hand, for a young guy like a Brandon Peely, just to have that there to soak up. So it's an intriguing group, it's an interesting group. You know, interior pressure is so huge in the NFL these days, and that's, you know, that's what they're going to have to try and do. Who is going to be the guy that's going to be the interior monster? You know, will Zach Sealer's numbers go down this year in terms of his sack numbers? I suspect they will, because he doesn't have Christian Wilkins alongside him. That's not being detrimental to Sealer's ability or his year last year. His ability is high and his year was outstanding. But, you know, when you have a running mate who's also getting 10, 11, 12 sacks, that helps you no matter what. It doesn't matter who you are. So, you know, I wonder whether Zach Sealer's numbers will come down to earth a little bit, or whether, you know, would he take another step up, which would be, you know, we put him in an all-pro kind of category. He's that sort of player. But he's going to need a lot of help from around him. And I think, Chris, we're going to see an awful lot of rotation, an awful lot of guys playing in different positions. And kind of feels like the sort of thing that Anthony Weaver kind of thrives upon, really, these kind of guys playing in different positions and rotating in and out and staying healthy and, you know, and trying to provide that interior pressure that we're going to so desperately need, especially with Chubb and Phillips, you know, probably feeling their way through the first 6 weeks, 8 weeks of the season.
Yeah, I think what's interesting about the set of these guys is that we do have differing skill sets and potentially therefore differences in how they're going to be used from game to game. You know, Tyr Tart is a good example as a guy that can play in the A gap as a one technique or somewhere on that, I don't know so much about a classic nose, but he can play there. But at the same time, this guy doesn't run or have a lot of range, right? So if you're facing a team or an offense like Miami's, for example, which really likes to get on the outsides and hit you on the edges, then that's going to be a bad day for him if you're relying on him a lot. And in fact, when the Dolphins played him, he did not have a good game, and actually that may have contributed to his being on the outs in Tennessee. So there's differing skill sets. Benito Jones kind of fits along those lines as well. But then you talk about Neville Gallimore, that speed is all over the tape, right? So he would be a guy that you do want chasing things out to the sidelines and trying to cap the potential gains that that an offense could get when they try and escape to the outside. So I think overall, and then you have guys like Calais Campbell and Jonathan Harris, who are used to being used kind of on the outside, lining up on the outside, lining up like a five technique, lining up like a four technique. And so when you need that from your big boys, your big bodies, then you have options with those guys to actually place them there and play some football that way. Certainly Deshaun Hand has played out there at times, and so has Zach Seerler when you get right down to it. So I think that between these guys, you kind of have different options for different games, different offenses that you're going to face. And of course, you may game plan a certain way for a game because you're expecting this or that. Sometimes you're expecting certain things against the San Francisco 49ers, and then Kyle Shanahan just runs power at you all game, and that is something that's happened. So you may game plan one way and sort of think that you're going to have a certain rotation in there, but then active on game day, you might start switching it up because they're hitting you a different way. And that's what I see in this, the versatility in this group, the unit. And we're talking about the guys that will probably make the team and be active. We're talking about Calais Campbell, Neville Gallimore, Deshaun Ann, Jonathan Harris, Benito Jones, and Zach Seeler and Teyer Tart, maybe minus one of those guys who doesn't quite end up dressed out for the game, but between them all, you have all this varied skill set. So hopefully, it's a lot of pressure on the coach, though. It is a lot of pressure on the coaching staff, starting with the defensive line coach, to make sure that everybody's straightened out and that you're using all your weapons in exactly the right way for exactly the right reasons from snap to snap. And there can be a lot of pressure on the coaches to do that.
All right. And on the edge, Jalen Phillips, Bradley Chubb are the headliners. I'm also interested to see both of them are on the PUP. I would say, I have doubts whether they would have participated in the conditioning test today, but that's one that I'll monitor going forward. Those are the headliners: Chop Robinson, Mo Camara, the draft picks, Emmanuel Ogba, new shooter on the outside, should get a lot of playing time. He's here to play, especially for $5 million. Cam Good, also coming off of injury. Zeke Vandenberg, this is year three. I don't think I've ever seen him on the field ever. I don't even know if he's a real person. Quentin Bell and Grayson Murphy is a developmental guy. This is a good group. The standard is the standard. They set a record last year for sacks, franchise record with 56. They were third in the NFL, 180 pressures. That was a team record. They were also third in the NFL. In pressures. They were second in pressure rate. This is a very, very good pass rush. Do you think they'll hold up the standard, Simon? Do you like what they have coming from the outside?
Look, I think the interesting thing with this team is that we know what is going to happen on offense, essentially. There's going to be something new and sexy that McDaniel's going to do, but essentially it's the same returning group, right? It's Hill, it's Waddle, it's Mostert, it's Achan. There's a couple of new bits thrown in with the Washington kid, with Beckham, with Jalen Wright, et cetera, et cetera. There's been a change at center, but generally we know what we're going to get, right? The offense is going to carry this team. The defense is the big question mark, and there are question marks at every level of the defense, whether that's on the interior. We've lost Christian Wilkins, and we've just talked about the fact that people are going to have to step up. And Chris's point is great and 100% right about different styles for different teams in different games, right? that the outside guys, it's exactly the same. You know, you're relying heavily on two guys coming off extremely serious injuries in Bradley Chubb and Jalen Phillips. And yep, I know that they look good and everything is, you know, touch wood, it's all been great, but they are still coming off serious injuries which involve those trigger parts of your body. You know, the Achilles is, you know, that is their bread and butter, changing direction quickly, turning the corner violently, all of those sorts of things, having their legs whipped out from underneath them, you know, planting, driving, cutting hard at speed. That is the expectation for these two guys. And remember, Bradley Chubb, what was it, 3 weeks before the end of the season that he tore his Achilles? You know, it's going to take them a while. Phillips may play day one, but he may, you know, he may struggle. I mean, most players coming back from serious ACLs or Achilles don't play particularly well that following season. It's really the year after that they really start to get better and feel natural. It's not just about the physical thing, it's the mental thing as well. You know, it's very much a mental thing. I tore my knee ligaments and it, you know, I was physically able to get back on the field. And I'm not comparing myself to NFL players, but it takes you a while to mentally, you know, to do the things that you did before and hope that the knee isn't just going to give out or the Achilles isn't going to give out. And then you're relying on, you know, a lot of, you know, young players, Cam Brown, Cam Good, you know, the two Cams. Good is coming off his own, you know, pretty catastrophic injury. Quinton Bell, who, you know, look good, you know, where it on the whatchamacallit team, the scout team last year. But you know, it's one thing looking good in the scout team when you're running around in your shorts at practice. It's another thing, you know, stepping up in the NFL. And then you've got the two rookies, you know, Robinson, who, you know, we all like, but you know, the expectation, what is that expectation? Is it an expectation that he's going to start every down? I think that's unlikely given the body of work and what I felt like he struggled with at Penn State. Is he going to be a, you know, sub package pass rusher? Fantastic. You know, sign me up for that all day long. That's a huge expectation if you think he's going to come in and start and play outside. Same with Mo Camara, you know, good player, but again, sub package pass rusher. He's only 6'1". So, you know, there are going to be question marks there. So, and to expand that point about, you know, a huge issue with the defense is that you go into the secondary and, you know, you're looking at a completely Reno secondary, really. You know, Jalen Ramsey, obviously, but playing a different role. Cam Smith, you know, you need to see something from the second round pick, but you throw in Jordan Poyer, you throw in Cyran Neal, you throw in Patrick Mormorris, you throw in Marcus May, you know, you throw in Kendall Fuller. These were guys that were not here, not on the team last year. It's a huge expectation and onus that's placed on this defense, on top of the fact that you're breaking in a new defensive coordinator. So if it clicks on defense, and look, the talent is there, the talent is absolutely there, but it's going to take a lot of work to get there. And I think the talent and the potential in that outside linebacker group is outstanding, but I have some serious reservations about whether or not Phillips and Chubb are going to be the sort of impactful players that we're going to need them to be if this team's going to make a deep run in the playoffs.
Chris.
You know, I probably should have mentioned we're talking about the big bodies before that. You know, Baltimore did have their big body rotation is a five-man rotation in Baltimore last year, and that's where Anthony Weaver comes from. So, but if we're backing out to the edge players now, it's important to realize that that edge player rotation for Baltimore. Even in ideal times when you know everybody's healthy that you want to bring to the game healthy and so on and so forth is a is really between a three and a four man position. That's the rotation. That's the that's this is an actively rotated defense. So this is promises to be an actively rotated defense, even when everybody is healthy. It is not what we are used to seeing from the Vic Fangio defense. That was the opposite of an actively rotated defense. That was the NFL equivalent of a you know a Tom Thibodeau system. From the NBA. And so I think it's important to realize that and keep that in mind as we're kind of like, who are we going to bring to the games and who's going to be healthy week one and so on and so forth. So keep that in mind, keeping that in mind with Emmanuel Ogba, who's here and was here last year and is highly thought of by fellow players and some people in the building. And so I think he's going to probably fit into that rotation right away, that that three-man unit with a fourth, let's just call it a 30-30-30, and then one guy who plays like 10% of the time. That's kind of how Baltimore did it. So I think Emmanuel Ogba is going to be one of those three right away, because I would actually lay some potential money on Jalen Phillips playing in week one. And I know other people think I'm crazy for that. I think that you could see a week one kind of three-man unit of Jalen Phillips, Emmanuel Ogba, and Chop Robinson, with maybe some, you know, a little 10% of Mo Kamara coming in as a specialty kind of fifth rusher type, because I think he is an outside rush specialist. That's how I see him, a little bit undersized. So anyway, that could be how it plays out until Bradley Chubb comes back, at which point, you know, we're talking about taking a little bit of a backseat for either Chop Robinson or Emmanuel Ogba, depending on how these people are playing. So, but the other thing to keep in mind is exactly what Simon said. There's a flip side to, hey, we're feeling a little bit optimistic about when these guys could be available, like Jalen Phillips or Bradley Chubb. The flip side is, yeah, but how well are they going to play? And I have been consistently told that, you know, temper your expectations on these guys, on how well these guys are going to come back. They're not going to blow up the field right away. This is definitely a process getting all the way back. They're not going to be as explosive as they were before. Certainly not right away. So we do have to keep that in mind. I will say this, we have some added juice with Chop Robinson, in as much as he has kind of a unique role that he can play, that he showed that he can play in Penn State. This is one of the reasons he was explicitly one of the reasons he was drafted, is because his defensive coordinator, his defensive coaching staff played him in a way that translates perfectly to what Anthony Weaver wants to do, particularly on third down. So you're going to see him possibly being used as sort of an A-gap threat, as a blitzer in third down situations, passing situations. What he can do when he does that is he has such a uniquely quick first step off of the snap that he can get into the belly of the center really faster than a lot of other guys. And what that will tend to do is cause a lot of panic with the offensive linemen, as they're, you know, kind of like, oh shit, oh shit, oh shit. Like, you know, there's a guy threatening right up the A gap that is already burned into the center before the ball. There are snaps and pictures that I posted on Twitter of this before the shotgun snap has even hit the quarterback's hands. We're talking about Chop Robinson already being, you know, at or behind the center. Like, he's that quick. So he has a role that he can play that trust me, the Dolphins are going to try and explore in those third down and pass rush situations. Now, the other guy that can do that is Jalen Phillips, but he's coming off the Achilles, and you don't expect him to have the same explosion that he had before that injury. And so I think that role will be owned by Chop Robinson if they make use of it. Now, there's more than one way to skin the cat as far as third down and how you blitz and what you do. And you're certainly not going to do the same thing every time either, because an offense can start to get wise to it. But I think that this is going to play a big role in what they do. I think having Chop Robinson on those pass rush downs, you know, burn up that center as a blitzer, as a stand-up blitzer, which is hopefully going to cause panic and cause kind of inversions in the offensive line, which then frees up all of your other guys to start chasing the quarterback a lot more easily. And if it all works out that way, then it's something that will will excite the fans and will excite people on our third down rush package. So that's what I'm looking forward to overall from the unit. As for anybody else that's going to play a role, is Grayson Murphy going to play a role? Is it, you know, some guys like that? I don't know. I don't know if I'd bet on it a lot. I do know that Grayson Murphy has a little bit of versatility to him, and they're probably going to like that. So we'll see.
All right, we're going to go to break, and when we come back, we're going to talk linebackers, interior linebackers, and we're going to talk the secondary, which there's plenty to talk about. Maybe some specialists. No changes, by the way, and no competition whatsoever at specialists this year. So there's no second place kicker. There's no second punter. But first, these words. Let me tell you about Prize Picks. Prize Picks is America's number one daily fantasy sports app with over 5 million active members. Prize Picks is the easiest and most exciting way to play daily fantasy sports. All you do is pick more or less on 2 to 6 player stat projections and watch the winnings roll in. Get in on the daily action with your friends and become part of the Prize Picks community today. Sign up today and get $50 instantly when you play $5. You don't even need to win to receive the $50 bonus. It's guaranteed. One Caleb Williams passing yard gets you one win on Prize Picks every week in September. That's right. Only 1 yard gets you an automatic win every football weekend in September. 4 weeks of free W's. Don't miss this deal on Prize Picks because it's gone when September ends. Football is on the way, so do as I do and make Monday and Thursday night football more interesting. Download the Prize Picks app today and use the promo code 3YARDS. That's the number 3YARDS and get $50 instantly when you play $5. That's the code 3YARDS on Prize Picks to get $50 instantly when you play $5. You don't even need to win to receive the $50 bonus. It's guaranteed. Prize Picks, run your game.
If people are dieting now more than ever before, then why are nearly 1 in 3 American adults overweight? Dr. Gundry, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier than ever, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. MCTs are a special kind of compound that, instead of turning into fat when you consume it, turns into ketones, which is a chemical that breaks down the excess fat in your body. So, by getting more MCTs in your diet, you essentially flip a switch that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which can flush out excess fat and calories. And he's created an easy way for you to activate caloric bypass right at home. It's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. I love how incredible it tastes. All you do is add a scoop to water, enjoy, and watch as you start feeling slimmer and more energized. So, if you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to countrymd.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's GUNDRYMD.com/energy. Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlands ranch.com/save50 today.
Are you a South Florida property owner with an insurance claim? Are you dealing with water, mold, or fire damage to your home or business? Are you having trouble locating a 5-star rated general contractor that is fully licensed, certified, and insured? If the answer is yes, then Water Cleanup of Florida is here for you 24 hours a day. With over 60 years of combined experience, Michael, Robert, Jorge, and their team is prepared to handle any size property damage disaster. When an unexpected damage occurs to your home or business, you need specialized, fast, and reliable services. Water Cleanup of Florida understands the impact and stress an unexpected disaster may cause. Their objective is to make the cleanup and insurance claim process painless and hassle-free. Water Cleanup of Florida is also a licensed general contractor, so they provide the A to Z service, one-stop shopping that busy homeowners and business owners require. Water Cleanup of Florida is now an authorized dealer of Eurocraft cabinets, so premier kitchen, bath, and laundry cabinetry, countertops, and other accessories are available for your viewing at their showroom in Boca Raton. Or, do you prefer to shop from your home or office? Then Water Cleanup will send you one of our design specialists to you with samples and products that fit your style and budget. Call Michael anytime on his personal cell phone if you have any questions at 954-579-0356. That's 954-579-0356. Or visit their website at wcufl.com. You can follow them on Facebook and Instagram. And please check out their more than 80 5-star reviews on Google and Facebook. Water Cleanup of Florida. If you have the schmutz, they have the guts.
I'm Jalen Phillips, and you're listening to 3 Yards Per Carry.
And we're back. All right, as far as the interior linebackers, there's 6 of them. They have a distinction never before seen in the history of the franchise. Do you know what that is, Simon? These 6 guys: David Long, Jordan Brooks, Anthony Walker, Duke Riley, Channing Tindall, Cam Brown. Do you know what place in Dolphin history they occupy?
I don't.
They're the first. They're the first interior linebacking group to not have a single guy wear a number in the 50s. In the history of the franchise, they're all 11, 20, 6, 45, 41, 47.
You know, if you let me talk, I was actually going to guess that, I swear.
Really? You really had that one?
Well, what I was going to say is that Jordan Brooks is number 20 and everybody else is in the 40s.
by the way, your conversation about your line about specialists. You know, there's a punter literally camped outside the facility.
Yes.
Himself I'm not even joking. The kid from Middle Tennessee State, Kyle Ulbrich, he's just literally stood outside the gates with a load of signs, trying to get a gig. So good luck to him.
Yeah, I don't. Somebody asked him if I saw him today, and nah, I said no. Oh, we have a separate
67
entrance.
67 punts over 50 yards in college.
Yeah, I remember that used to happen all the time at Davey, because right across the street, guys used to camp out there. Asking for a gig. All right, David Long on the pup. But David Long, Jordan Brooks, Mega Locks. In fact, Mega Locks to start. Anthony Walker should get a lot of run, which leaves you with Duke Riley, Channing Tindall. Cam Brown, in my estimation, is going to make the team. He's not here to play linebacker. He's here to be a special teamer, a core special teamer. I tend to believe anything that comes out of the mouth of Mike Westhoff. He is the special teams guru. Special teams are going to be more important this year. He says every team's going to have at least 3 core guys with a depth chart behind them, meaning those guys are going to be really important. So I'm saying, yeah, you know, you sign Cam Brown to be one of those guys, he's going to be here, which leaves you with Duke Riley or Channing Tindall. Here's the thing. If you're cutting Channing Tindall, he must really be bad, because you could save about $3 million, I believe, by cutting Duke Riley. Is that right? Chris, by the way, you can look it up before I get Simon in here.
I'll look it up. You go right ahead. I'll look it up.
So, Simon, this one's pretty straightforward. Are we seeing the last of Channing Tindall, or are they going to go for savings on Duke Riley?
Oh, no, I think Riley makes a team. I don't know how you could get rid of Duke Riley. He's reliable. He's a solid player, great locker room guy, beloved by his teammates and his coaches. You know, doesn't do, you know... He's a kind of solid C, C-plus kind of guy that, you know, and that's great for a third slash fourth string interior linebacker. You know, he's going to be behind, you know, Jordan Brooks and David Long. And I'm really excited about this combo, actually. You know, these are two really good players. I love David Long at Tennessee. I thought he was excellent for the Dolphins last year. And I think Jordan Brooks can be a really good player if he's played to his potential and the things that he does really well. You know, I like him as a player a lot. I think, you know, that is a really good combo. And I think having Riley and Walker, Walker again, another solid player. I remember we liked him back at Northwestern as a freshman at Northwestern. He was a really good player. He just, you know, he does everything well. He's not a, you know, he's not going to be a superstar. He's not going to, you know, this isn't Raekwon. This isn't Roquan Smith, even Raekwon, what? Roquan Smith, or, you know, this is a solid, dependable guy who'll play some special teams, be a sort of a, you know, a captain kind of personality. So, and you talk about, is Channing Tindall that bad? I mean, how many defensive snaps has Channing Tindall played in, you know, since he's been here? At a point where the Dolphins, I mean, he's got 11 career tackles. And he's played three, what, two seasons. Yeah, this is his third season. I mean, 11 tackles at a point where we were signing guys off the street to play, you know, linebacker. Calvin Munson came back to play. And having been on the street, Munson got snaps ahead of Channing Tindall. I mean, that to me is a pretty damning indictment of where he stands. Now, he'll get a chance, obviously, with a new defensive coordinator, and he can run, and he can, you know, we know all these things, but realistically, is he gonna? I'm just trying to see his snap numbers. Realistically, is he
22.
how many?
22.
22 last year or career?
Career.
Wow. So, I mean, I think, you know, this is the beginning of the end for Channing Tindall. 22 snaps for as a third round pick. You know, out of Georgia, won a national championship, all that dripping with athletic ability, and he can't get on the field, even though we had an absolute, you know, we were essentially playing like the guy that was selling hoagies outside the stadium, and somebody who's a lifeguard in, you know, Liberty Sea ahead of him, and Calvin Munson, who was, you know, delivery driving for UPS and then came in and played linebacker over Channing Tindall. So, yeah, I mean, he would at best be the fifth string, and I just don't see that happening. I think he's done.
Chris?
Yeah, so I can't help but see more. First off, the number you're looking for, Alf, was $2.5 million. That's what Duke Robinson, or sorry, Duke Riley, would save if the Dolphins were to cut him. They would save $2.5 million, I believe. So I can't help but see this as more differentiation. This unit. And I'm actually low-key excited about this unit because I do really like David Long. We all, you know, were talking about David Long, I think probably even before they signed him last year. I mean, I think everybody was big fans of that signing. And while there were some I think some friction and some you know, some lumps that he took initially under Vic Fangio in that defense, it was clear that he came on and he started to be a really good player. And I think we're all kind of fans of Jordan Brooks too, and what he can do, not only as, you know, kind of a run defender and a pass rusher, surprisingly good pass rusher, you know, in blitzing situations, but what he came to be good at and the sort of competencies that he showed in what he could do in the passing game and in coverage. There are certain things that he can do in coverage and be asked to do that actually excite coaches. And I think that when he was signed, Simon, you know, had touched on that a little bit, and what and you know, sources that he contacted to talk about Jordan Brooks and what he can do and some of the things that he can do in coverage. I think that's really exciting. So right there, you've got a nice 1-2 punch. But also I'm going to include Anthony Walker in here because what he is a true Mike linebacker. So when you get into these situations where you're going to have actually three off-ball linebackers, three linebackers, like your people think of your classic 4-3. Anthony Walker Jr. is your classic Mike linebacker, and for what he does in those situations and in that personnel grouping, he is really good at that. You know, he's really good at stopping the run. He's really good at calling shots and playing smart football and playing very physical when he gets in there as a Mike. So if we're thinking about these, you know, all the differentiation between those three guys, Anthony Walker is kind of that straight up Mike, true Mike. And it's funny that Simon, you had kind of like a mouth club and you wanted to say Roquan Smith and you said Raekwon because he's a lot like Raekwon McMillan.
Yeah.
You know, go back in time. And so I think that you might be surprised the number of times during a game when you're cheering for the Dolphins and he makes a play and you're like, oh man, that guy's good. You know, I think for the role that he could play, this is very good. And then Duke Riley, I don't see him being cut. I think he's a green dot player when your green dot player is, and speaking of the captain, you know, who has the communication headset on the field, has the green dot on his helmet. That's what we call a green dot player. Now, when your green dot player is injured and not able to take the field, I think Duke Riley is your green dot player that comes on in his place, you know? And that's the level of trust that he's engendered from coaches. No, you don't want to put him in very bad situations, having to chase really fast running backs, you know, down the field on wheel routes. We saw him get exposed a few times for that, but we've also seen him play really well in games at times for the Miami Dolphins over the years that he's been here. You don't want to lose him. I see Cam Brown as being sort of a guy that it's interesting that the Baltimore Ravens made use of a guy. I'm trying to remember his name. The linebacker who played sort of like a classic Sam position. I'm thinking of, you know, go way back in time. We're talking like Donnie Spragan, you know, that kind of guy, that kind of player. I think his name was Malik Harrison, actually. We're not talking about a rush linebacker. We're talking about an outside linebacker, classic Sam. What in college you might see as an overhang player. And I think that Cam Brown is capable and experienced at playing that sort of position. But also, as Alf mentioned, he's going to be like number one. You know, he's a special teams guy. He's a special teams kind of your ace that way. But when he can actually get on the field for roles, because he differentiates as kind of a classic on the line Sam overhang type of player. And that's actually where I see Channing Tindall trying to compete, because I don't think he's going to compete well with, Anthony Walker in his role as a Mike linebacker. I don't think he's going to compete all that well with Jordan Brooks in his role and the things that Jordan Brooks can do in coverage. I don't think he's going to compete all that well as your main fill linebacker like David Long. I actually think that Channing Tindall is going to compete on special teams. And so if Cam Brown is not, you know, on top of his game as a special teams ace, if he's not all that's advertised, you know, you could see Channing Tindall right behind him trying to earn that spot. And then I think that Channing Tindall, because of some of the things that he did show in college, which, you know, he is a decent blitzer. He is a decent pass rusher and has a lot of athleticism and some length, then you could see him used in sort of those outside roles that classic Sam, except, you know, with maybe a little bit more blitz prowess. So maybe he'd compete with Cam Brown that way. Maybe that's the primary competition. But yeah, I do see that these linebackers are all very differentiated, which again, it puts a lot of pressure on the coaches to make sure that they're getting their personnel groupings right, to kind of make sure that they're getting their game plans and their scouting of the opponent correct, as far as, you know, what tendencies the offense is going to have in these different situations or when they show these different personnel groupings and such. they have to get all these guys out in the field in their differentiated roles, you know, very intelligently. And that does put, again, put more pressure on the coaching staff to be very intelligent about how they do that. But there is potential here. There's definitely very potential or a lot of potential if they get this right.
All right. And moving on to, and I like this group a lot. I like all the players on it. David Long, Jordan Brooks, I think these are upgrades. And I think Anthony Walker is going to have plenty of opportunities to play in a bunch of different fronts. And he's a guy you could see checking in on third and one. So absolutely. I like this group and I'm kind of in agreement. Channing Tindall is, you know, dead man walking. All right, cornerbacks. We have a PFF darling, Kendall Fuller. There was a discussion today. I'm not going to reveal who was saying what, but there was a discussion today in the press room. Is Kendall Fuller good? And I'm like, yes, he's pretty good. Maybe not as good as PFF says he is, because PFF has him ranked, I believe, the sixth best cornerback in football. But he's a good player. His numbers, you know, his counting stats went down as Washington was trading every single pass rusher they had on the roster. Opposite of him, Jalen Ramsey, Kader Kohou returns for year three. Nick Needham, a year removed from his, 2 years, 18 months actually, removed from his Achilles injury, is back. Saran Neal, another core special teamer. Cam Smith in year two. Last year was essentially a redshirt year. Ethan Bonner, who's a play a minute, also returns. And you have UDFAs and Isaiah Johnson, Jordan Colbert. Say Johnson, kind of big and not all too fast. So I would say maybe a future at safety is in the offing. Then we get into the safeties. Jordan Poyer, Marcus May, Javon Holland, the headliners. Elijah Campbell returns for year three. Patrick Moore is a UDFA. Actually, he was drafted in the sixth round. Mark Perry is a UDFA. And Storm Duck, Jason Maitre. Simon, I love this group. This is a versatile group, but it all kind of hinges on Cam Smith becoming what he was in training camp last year. If he is what he was in training camp and what he was in preseason, which was a promising guy making plays, flashing all over the place, this is a pretty deep group and a good group. Of course, you know, barring any catastrophic injury to your headliners, but that's pretty much everybody. I like this group, and if this team didn't have such a good wide receiver core and a good running back group, this could be, in my opinion, the best position group on the team. Simon.
I like the group on paper. I think it's a bit like the outside linebacker group. I think there's an awful lot of question marks. Obviously, Ramsey the star, right? But Cam Smith, loved him in college. You talk about how well he played in, you know, training camp, but didn't see the field at all last year. And, you know, even again, when there were injury issues, he didn't see the field. Jordan Poyer, old injury issues. Perry, just a guy. Nick Needham, what is he now? Where does he play? You know, we talk about in cross training as a safety, as a corner, as a nickel. He's 2.5 years removed from the really good year that he had. You know, Saran Neal is really just a special teams guy, really. You know, he's a good, solid special teams guy, but a guy that, you don't have on the field unless there's an issue, you know, with injuries. McMorris, I didn't like at Cal at all, and I'll be surprised if he makes the team. Yeah, Marcus May was a free agent for a reason, but is a talented player, okay? I know nothing about Jason Maitre. Kader Kohou, again, had a pretty poor year last year, and you have to, you know, was the rookie year a flash in the pan? Was year two just a sophomore slump? What is he? Is he an outside guy? Is he an inside guy? What does he do? Where does he play? You know, Isaiah Johnson is a decent player, was a decent player in college, but, you know, what, again, does he even make the team? What is he? Kendall Fuller, I like at Washington. I think he's a good player. You know, and those two, Ramsey and Washington, I think are excellent. Storm Dark, probably just a guy. And then, you know, we've got the white dream, which is Ethan Bonner, you know, who's Chris's favorite white player ever. But, you know, has got a lot of speed, has shown some flashes, you know, and could be a guy. So there's some special teams talent there as well, you know, but you're also relying on some age guys in Poyer. You obviously love Holland, but a big year for Javon Holland. And I expect a big season from it. It's a contract year. I don't expect him to be a Dolphin next year. I think the money will be too much. I think the Dolphins just won't be able to afford it. So I suspect this might be the last year that we see Javon Holland in Miami. But, you know, on paper, that sort of three up safety group that they played in Baltimore, the three up safeties that they played there, if that's Poyer, if that's May, and if that's Javon Holland, then that is exciting and interesting. And, you know, but can Poyer stay healthy? You know, does McMorris make the team? Is he a player? You know, and it'll be fascinating. Elijah Campbell obviously thrown into the mix, a good special teamer, didn't look out of place, particularly when he, you know, was forced into action. So yeah, I'm with you in terms of the group having some real talent on paper, but I think there's a lot of question marks about a number of the players. But if, you know, if a Jordan Poyer stays healthy and a Cam Smith comes to the table, and Cade Okoho returns and plays just inside and returns to his freshman to his rookie form, then this group is outstanding. But you know, there's some ifs and buts and some maybes there.
Before we move on to Chris, your thoughts on Isaiah Johnson out of Syracuse? Good size, physical player.
Yeah,
There's no way they're going to play him at cornerback, right?
well, I mean, I don't know what they're going to do. I mean, you know, it's hard to play against players with that size, you know, in the NFL. You know, does he move to safety? Potentially. You know, he was what, 6'3", 204, 5. I don't have his 40-yard number in front of me, but you know, long and long arms and big frame. I suspect he goes to safety. He might play as a big nickel, a guy that comes down and, you know, runs the alley and plays in the box, plays a bit of as a robber. I didn't like the fact that, you know, I thought his transitions weren't amazing. But he's a guy that, you know, has the ability to do a couple of things on the team for you. So whether he makes a team, I mean, who knows? But, you know, it was a Dartmouth transfer and it's got some talent, but you know, I suspect he probably doesn't make the team. Wouldn't surprise me if he ended up on the practice squad.
All right. And before Chris gets in here, for those of you wondering, Javon Holland fires off an Antoine Winfield type of season. The franchise tag is $18.7 million for next
He
season
needs
for safety.
picks. He needs turnover plays. You know, he doesn't have a lot of interceptions to his name. And you know, push will come to shove for certain teams that look at him and think, you know, this is a guy that, you know, has an awful lot of talent. He has 5 career interceptions in 3 years. You know, and those sorts of things do matter in contract negotiations. Teams, you know, if teams looking to pay him 16, 17, 18 million a year, that's great. But one of the questions will be, where's the, you know, where's the juice? What are we getting for that? You know, 4 sacks and 5 interceptions in 3 years, plus some injuries. Like, I'm not knocking him. I think he's a terrific player. I love that he's a Dolphin. I loved him at Oregon. I thought it was amazing. And I was absolutely thrilled. And he hasn't let us down as a Dolphin at all. But you kind of feel like, you know, you'd like to see him match his career total of interceptions in a season. Do you know what I mean? 4 or 5 picks for Javon Holland in a season shouldn't be beyond the realms of possibility, given his skill set.
Yeah, and if you're going to compare yourself to, well, not compare yourself, but what some analysts out there and guys that we respect, like Louis Riddick, comparing him to Antoine Winfield, my God, if you saw Antoine Winfield's season last year, he could have won Defensive Player of the Year without a hitch last year. You know, Holland has not been that. Chris?
So first off, Isaiah Johnson, 6'3", you mentioned 6'3", full 6'3", 205 pounds. He only ran a 4.64 at the combine, and a 4.66 when he circled back to his pro day. He can jump through the roof. He's athletic in other ways. So you know, just keep that in mind when we're talking about him. I actually think Storm Duck from Louisville has a good chance at being an outside corner in this system. What I generally see in this system is, again, not just that differentiation that I've been talking about with all these other positions, but also like kind of a lot of question marks about how it's all going to fit. And by that, I mean, you know, we can talk about the three safety system that the Baltimore Ravens used about 30% of the snaps last year. But that was, there was a reason for that. The reason was named Kyle Hamilton, you know, and Kyle Hamilton being a 6'4", 220-pound dude who has unique abilities to where he could be used in the slot, like a slot corner, even though he's a 6'4" and 220-pound safety. He could be used in the slot as much as he was. And so when they went to those three safety defenses, it was Kyle Hamilton walking up into the slot and playing a lot of slot. And that's a unique thing that they're asking him to do. Javon Holland, whether they sign him next, end up signing, re-signing him, giving him a big contract, it's really going to be up to him, because if he can show the sort of versatility and dominance that Kyle Hamilton did for the Baltimore Ravens, then yeah, I think Miami will put that money down, because he was such a key piece for that entire defense. And so the potential is there for Javon Holland to be moved around like Kyle Hamilton was, and establish his own level of dominance, but also the ability to help make the defense and make all the equations, you know, work. I think that if he can do that, then maybe he will get that contract. If he's showing limitations, he obviously does not have Kyle Hamilton's size. Then we're talking about a very different situation where, I think the Dolphins will be happy to have guys and to continue signing guys like Jordan Poyer and like Marcus May. Marcus May, by the way, just I think worth mentioning, you know, when the Baltimore Ravens signed Marcus Williams, who's one of those three safeties that they've made great use of there, they signed him away from the New Orleans Saints and that defense, Dennis Allen's defense. And the guy that replaced him, that signed in New Orleans to replace him, Marcus May. So I think that there's probably some scheme fit reasons why he's actually with the Dolphins. I do like that three safety grouping, just in a generalized way, between Javon Holland and Jordan Poyer and Marcus May. I'm just wondering if you're going to get the same sort of you know, Swiss Army knife out of one of those guys as the Baltimore Ravens did with Kyle Hamilton. The flip side of it is the corner position, where if you had to say, you know, who is that guy, who is that corner version of Kyle Hamilton, it's definitely Jalen Ramsey, right? And sort of when Anthony Weaver came on, even before he was hired, it was sort of probably handed to him that, hey, you're going to have to be using Jalen Ramsey in a lot of different ways, because that was a source of real contention and disagreement between the players last year and previous defensive coordinator Vic Fangio. So we're talking about Jalen Ramsey having to be used as kind of a Swiss Army knife instead of a safety like Kyle Hamilton. And so how does that change the way you fit all these guys together? Now, when I originally saw Kendall Fuller sign on, he has a lot of history. Half his career he spent as more of a slot guy, as more of a slot nickel guy. And then the second half of his career, he played kind of purely on the perimeter. And I thought that the versatility would have been coveted, particularly as Jalen Ramsey is going to be a guy that moves around, so that you need other guys that can move around to be there with Jalen Ramsey, because, you know, that sort of versatility, you know, requires more versatility. But it sounds to me like they're going to use Kendall Fuller, you know, purely on the outside, which is a curious decision to me. And that does put the pressure on the way Alf already talked about. It puts the pressure on Cam Smith as that other outside guy, because Jalen Ramsey's going to be moved into the slot a lot. He's going to be moved into all these different other positions. And so the other guy on the outside is probably going to be Cam Smith. That's the way it's going to start out. And that's as much of a question mark as Simon implied, and then some, I think, because if you look at the way he was used through the year, or the way he was not used, look at the end of the year, the wild card game. Who did they put in that wild card or that wild card playoff game instead of Cam Smith? They put Ethan Bonner in there, and
he was the player of the game. He played 11 snaps, had two solo tackles, and he forced a fumble.
Yeah, I mean, he played really, yeah, he played really well in both games that he played. And he also played really well in the preseason. So I do believe he's a guy to watch. And I think that what's interesting to me about Ethan Bonner is how many players say his name unbidden, unprompted, just out of nowhere. They just are speaking glowingly about Ethan Bonner. And you know what? For what it's worth, I don't hear anybody bringing up Cam Smith that way. And so I think that that's I think that is something to keep an eye on. They're putting a lot of pressure on Cam Smith to be the guy on the outside while Jalen Ramsey gets moved all around. And so I think that, you know, I think that it's going to be interesting to see whether Cam Smith can handle it. And if Cam Smith doesn't handle it, how quick of a hook are they going to give him and put somebody out there, somebody else out there like Ethan Bonner? Or are they just going to kind of reconfigure their entire idea of how they move these guys around and start, you know, okay, well, we're going to have to play Jalen Ramsey more on the outside because Cam Smith can't handle it. You know, Kader Kohou can handle the slot a little bit and be kind of like, you know, the Baltimore Ravens had a slot specialist corner last year whose name escapes me at the moment. But you know, maybe Kader Kohou can actually play that. Arthur Mollett is the guy I was thinking of. Yeah. And then, you know, maybe Javon Holland now is going to be trying moved around into different places. Like they do have options and they have enough of a versatility in this unit to try different things depending on what's working and what's not working. But that to me also tells me that there might not be a clear vision yet. And they might not have a lot of confidence that whatever they're trying in week one is going to work in week 17. And so, or week 18 or whatever. So I think that it's going to be interesting to see as it all plays out. We've already kind of seen that they tried Nick Needham at sort of a hybrid corner safety role. And then all of a sudden they're signing Marcus May. And so I think that, you know, there's a lot of experimentation happening and it's really unclear how it's all going to fit together. And it might be unclear to them too.
All right. And on the way out here, very, very quickly, because I don't think any of us want to spend too much time talking about the specialist or the place kicker. But a lot of fans were up in arms why they brought back Jake Bailey. Any coincidence, Simon, that Jason Sanders had a renaissance and all of a sudden he was actually back to being Jason Sanders? Maybe you have a subpar punter because he's really good as a holder and your place kicker likes him? Just my theory. Your thoughts very quickly?
I mean, I suspect the holding thing probably comes into it a little bit, but, you know, a holder's a holder, right? I mean, you can work that fairly quickly and well by being together and practicing together and doing all the sort of stuff that you do because you're not doing anything else, quite frankly. So I would say there's a 2% chance that played into it, but I don't know what the other 98% because I thought he had a bang average year, quite frankly. So
yeah, Jake Bailey was just not
the fact that there's not anybody challenging him, I find fascinating.
Yeah. Well, you know, you never know. They might bring a guy in, you know, the first week. You know, we get the first official look at the entire roster tomorrow. So we shall
Isn't the elephant in the room on that? Like, hasn't he dealt with an injury in the past? And wasn't he, you know, listen, I do not pay attention to these special teams guys. But, you know, he did land on injured reserve. He had a back injury. You know, he was at least regarded to be a lot better prior to last year than he was last year, obviously. You know, is it as simple as, hey, the Dolphins are thinking that he's fully healthy now and a fully healthy Jake Bailey, you know, proved himself in X year, 2022 or whatever, you know. But I know he had at least a grievance over a suspension and, you know, he's had a back injury in the past. It could just be a health thing. It could be, you know, I don't want to overthink anything. It could just be health.
All right. And that's it. The next time we talk to you, we will be well into training camp and we'll be careening toward joint practices with the Atlanta Falcons. We will be essentially, let me see, we will be 6 days away the next time we talk to you from joint practices with the Atlanta Falcons. We will talk to you again next week. We will obviously talk training camp. You can get all my camp reports on this feed, this very feed where you're listening to our podcast. You will get my camp reports every single day where I essentially read out my notes to you, and we get other members from OnlyFans. And if you want to become a member, you want to ask a question about training camp, you can. You go to discord.gg/OnlyFans, and you can participate in my camp reports, my daily camp reports. You can ask questions. All right. That's it. There is no more. We will talk to you again next week.
Thanks for listening to 3 Yards Per Carry. You can subscribe via iTunes, on Podbean, or your usual podcast provider.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Alo or Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret? With Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whatever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/try to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/try.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.